This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey, what's the easiest way to find out what channel the game's on? Sports on What? Subscribe to the Sports on What app and quickly find the channel for every provider, satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Download today.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. Are there things that you know you shouldn't do? And then there's things that you find out that you should not have done. For example, it's perfectly reasonable to urinate. It's perfectly reasonable to masturbate. But you know damn well that you can't do both of those things in a train station lobby. But that did not stop a Connecticut man from doing exactly that. It also didn't stop the cops from arresting him. Then there's those things you find out that you should not have done. A man in New York City, he saw a banana peel on the ground, and he wondered why TV shows, cartoons, and movies always showed people slipping and falling when they step on one. So he stepped on it and ended up on his ass after he slipped and fell on it. Things that you know you shouldn't do. I don't know. Eat a ghost pepper on a dare. First of all, doing anything on a dare is usually a bad idea. A ghost pepper definitely is. But it didn't stop one guy. And sure, he ate the pepper, but he also spent the next hour crying on a bathroom floor. Not a great look. And then there's something you find out you should not have done. Like, I don't know, assume that Fiber One is the same as a granola bar. That's what one kid did and pretty much pooped himself out of school. Went to the nurse and got to the point and said, we're just calling your parents because you can't keep pooping here. Now, we have a lot more examples, but first, we'd like to hear from you with your answer to today's question brought to you by our friends at Advanced Hair Restoration. Today, we want to know, what was the moment that you realized that someone really effed up?
To be a part of the big show, call 206-803-ROCK. Like KISW on Facebook, follow us on X and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send your emails to themensroom@KISW.com.
99.9 KISW. Here's the question of the day. Brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. Text the Men's Room at 206-803-ROCK.
We're doing it. The first ever KISW Miles Montgomery Golf Classic. It's got a ring to it, doesn't it? Presented by our friends at Pinky's Plumbing, Monday, June 9th at Jefferson Park. We're going to have some beers, probably have some shots, probably have some cold drinks, play a little garf. Foursomes on sale now at KISW.com. You are listening to The Men's Room. Well, the show is away we go. Welcome to Season 20, Episode number 4,273. What a large and in-charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat. Joined once again at 4:30 by our friends from the Daily Biggs Morning Show. That would be Taryn and Steve. We will sit and spin. And today, in honor of Sunday's Oscars, there is a category for best musical performance, score, whatever you want to call it.
Whatever the hell it is.
Song. We have 10 songs that were nominated for the Oscars. And Mike, we know most of these songs. They are popular in the world, right?
Yeah, they're songs that you would know, yes.
Okay. Idea today is you're going to play us a snippet of one of these tunes, and we're going to try to guess the movie that was included in the nomination.
Correct.
For that tune.
Do you have any James Bond theme in there?
James Bond themes were certainly on there. They are definitely a possibility.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right. I saw that, and I cannot remember her name, but one woman was up for like her 10th or 12th Song of the Year in the Oscars.
As a performer or writer?
As a composer, writer, performer, the whole deal, and she lost again. So she's like the Susan Lucci.
She's never won,
No, but she's always nominated up there. Once again, she just kind of puts her head down.
That's Hollywood's way of saying, you know what? You are pretty good.
That's right. So, Taryn and Steve joining us from the Daily Mix Morning Show coming up since mid. By the way, since we're having the Miles Montgomery Golf Classic.
I thought it was just the Miles Montgomery Classic.
Whatever.
I'm just saying, man.
That's a sex move. So, hopefully,
the classic,
as this is going down Monday, June 9th at Jefferson Park, we are taking the day off to basically go out there, have a good time with you, drink beer, hang out, play golf, have a lot of fun, right? Hopefully, we can get those guys maybe to go up and do their show.
The morning show?
Yeah, the Monday morning.
Let's just ask them.
Of the golf tournament. And then, so they can set the tone. And then we'll get up there. Because the first tee time is 8 o'clock. Everyone tees off at the same time.
Why do you got to play a sport that starts so early, man?
It's 8 o'clock in the morning, man. Ah. Everybody goes out to their own individual hole. It's a shotgun start. Everyone starts
at 8. I'm just saying, as far as sports go, man, and I know golfers start early. Look, I get it. That's
Steve,
just what?
You can have a beer at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
You know what? When you put it like that, right. Now, never mind. I retract my statement. Yeah.
We have tons of prizes.
Hell yeah.
You can go to Shine down in Salt Lake City.
Yep.
We're going to have a heckle hole. We got a lot of stuff planned. That's basically where someone sits there with a microphone and a speaker, and every single person that gets up there on the tee box for a particular hole, they just get absolutely lambasted. The clothes they're wearing to the way they swing the club, the way they look, the way they hit the ball.
All right.
You know, it's all, bets are off on that one as far as the language involved and everything else. But we have a lot more planned, tons of prizes. Foursomes are on sale now at KISW.com. It's going to be a great day. Hopefully you can join us. We've got tons of prizes. We'll have lots of alcohol on the course.
Yes, it is.
It's going to be a lot less about golf than you think it's going to be, Steve. What? So I know you're not the biggest golfer in the world. Yes, golf will be involved.
I understand that, but Mike righted my ship. Said, dude, you're going to start drinking at 8 a.m., so yes. I'm in. So whatever has to happen, I'm cool.
Okay, yeah. I've seen a lot of people really mess up on the golf course before. As far as just doing things that they probably should. I've seen people fall into lakes. I've seen people that thought it was a good idea to either get a goose off of the green and the goose attacked them.
Yeah, man, geese don't play.
I've seen that once, almost twice.
Would you get in trouble if you swung the club and hit the goose?
I mean,
I'm saying if it's attacking you, not just walk up to it and hit the thing, but I'm saying if it starts charging you, as geese are known to do, in my mind, I got a golf club, I'm ending this thing, right? Or is that bad? Would that be frowned upon? Like, the goose is now attacked. I'm just trying to shoot away.
I think
the goose turns around and says, bring it on. And, you know, they start flying at you, man. Right?
I think it's one of those where they would say that it doesn't fly. However, I don't think anybody would blame you.
Okay. Last time I played,
better get him in the first.
Been a few times back, but this was in the last 2 months. I saw a dude drive a golf cart off of a bridge.
Jesus, man.
He was drunk. He was not paying attention to what he was doing. He drove the golf cart. I got a picture of it. It's the damnedest thing. He drove it straight down.
That's what, like 6-7 feet up, maybe?
Drove it straight down into a canal. Damnedest thing I've ever seen. But either way, hopefully you can get a few friends together and get a foursome and join us for the Miles Montgomery Golf Classic Monday, June 9th at Jefferson Park. It's going to be a good time. Okay, our question today, the moment you realized that someone really effed up.
Like maybe the guy in the golf cart that drove off of a bridge and into the canal.
Sometimes it's a big deal. Sometimes it's just like, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you're that stupid. It wasn't the biggest deal in the world, but you effed up. Other times it's like, wow, maybe you didn't even mean to. You didn't even realize what you were getting into. And then all of a sudden, you're like, uh-oh, this is not a good situation.
And then sometimes people tell you things, and you might remember this coworker back in Baltimore, and I just... She was complaining about the dentist, and we're just in the hallway, just shooting the crap, right? Regular talk, and she had been to the dentist earlier, and we're like, well, dude, nobody loves going to the dentist, but, you know, how's your mouth? You got to do the right thing. And so she's like, oh, man, it's fine. But she then, as she's going through this conversation, she indicated that she doesn't understand why the dentist also has a license to do breast exams. And Miles and I just felt silent, because I thought she's kind of setting up a joke. Oh, yeah. I mean, there was no joke. She just kept talking. And, like, we don't know what to say. I'm just like, you might want to find a different dentist. You also might want to get a little smarter. He's just grabbing your boobs. And the thing is, she'd been going to this guy for, like, 2 or 3 years was the point. Because she's like, every time I go in, I also have to get a breast exam.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, sir. And we're, like, waiting for the punchline. Nothing.
Yeah.
I'm like, this lady, you're so stupid. You're so dumb, but you're so sweet. And this to me, like, you've effed up. You just don't even know it.
That's right.
We start with a story. Here's a crazy one. A driver that was stuck on a set of railroad tracks made it out safely from his car before it was struck by a Norfolk Southern train in LaPorte. The crash and his arrest may not have happened had he not been impaired while FaceTiming with a young lady. That is the picture drawn from a police investigation leading to charges against 27-year-old Zachariah Vigil. The LaPorte man is facing misdemeanor counts of operating while intoxicated and leaving the scene of a crash. Now, this all goes down at about 2 a.m. Vigil was driving to his girlfriend's home after watching the Super Bowl, according to the information filed in the Superior Court papers. Vigil told investigators he became distracted by the sight of her breast that she was showing him on FaceTime. This, he says, caused him to drive up on the rails next to the crossing, according to court documents. Police said Vigil, after his car stalled, tried pushing the car off the tracks before the vehicle was smashed by the freight train. Now, according to court documents, the woman then picked up Vigil and was just leaving the scene of the crash when stopped by one of the responding officers. Vigil, he was the front passenger in the seat. He had an alleged blood alcohol level of 0.273.
Wow. But the reason he swerved off the road is because he's looking at her boobs.
He was looking at her boobs, yes.
Like, dude, you're headed there.
Right.
And I mean, look, I also get it, but maybe don't FaceTime while driving.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if she's going to show you boobs, because look, I'm going to be distracted too. That's all.
Yep.
Now we have the story. In a chilling incident, a man was seen performing pull-ups on electrical wires, leaving internet users stunned and outraged. The dangerous stunt is, they say, grabbing eyes on social media as the video has racked up over 2 million views. It was shared on Instagram, and the footage shows the man gripping electric wires, seemingly connected to utility poles that he climbed up, and performing pull-ups. How did Jim Bro get up there? One caption read, while many on social media found the video amusing, others slammed the man for pulling such a reckless stunt. Training with death. Bro's acting like he got spare lives. In another video, the same man is seen jumping from a three-story building onto high-voltage wires.
Jeez, man.
The video showed the man on the roof of a building, holding a long stick before leaping off. However, instead of landing on the ground, he crashed into high-tension wires, triggering massive sparks and causing the crowd to gasp in horror. After being electrocuted, his limp body fell onto a first-floor balcony.
Jesus.
Initially presumed to be dead, he suddenly sat up and then started throwing bricks at police.
Are you kidding?
No. After a struggle, the officers eventually nabbed him and took him to a district hospital for treatment and assessment. According to reports, the man is a resident of Odisha and had traveled there for his child's treatment at a local hospital.
He's there because his kid's in the hospital.
That is correct.
And while kid's in the hospital, dad is doing pull-ups on tension wires, gets electrocuted, sits up. And what are you doing? Like, what? I've been on a lot of drugs. I've been really drunk. Mm-hmm. Nothing about that story seems like a good idea.
Our question today, what was the moment that you realized that someone really effed up? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Edgar. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, how you doing?
Hola.
Doing well, Edgar. Thank you.
Yeah, I used to work at this business where we made playground equipment.
Okay.
And we bent a lot of pipes. You know, you go to the parks and you see those jungle gyms that have the U-bend that kids climb on, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we also, when I first started, we used to make these swing sets, and we would send this pipe out to be bent into it would be the top part, the top arch of the swing. And we bought this $30,000 bender, and we started bending all this pipe ourselves, and we had to kind of teach ourselves. And I went through the whole spec thing. You know, bending a small pipe was no problem, but it had the specifications that it would bend up to 3.5-inch pipe. And all I wanted to do was bend some 3-inch pipe. So in my mind, I just knew it would work. But the fine print said that it would bend 3.5-inch light duty pipe, but only 2.5-inch heavy duty pipes.
Mm-hmm.
I put this 3-inch pipe in there, and it turns out it was a thick wall pipe, heavy. And man, that bender just started growling, you know? And that first bend, you have to bend it and then let it spring back and figure out how much spring back you have, you know, and then you dial that in and then you get the right size the next time, hopefully. So I did the first one and then I said, well, let's put another one in and I'll add some spring back in there. And anyway, that second one, it started growling and it was just, and it got about 3/4 of the way through this bend and it just snapped. And it was the worst sound in the world, man. I've wanted to call you guys with this story 3 or 4 times because you'll ask, when did you, you know, you guys just have all kinds of questions that are, that have the same answer. But anyway, this story here, when that thing snapped, I felt just, oh, it's like in my stomach just got a knot.
Yeah.
And then it just traveled down and settled right in my cojones.
All right.
Well, at least nobody got hurt there, Edgar.
$1,000 machine.
Yeah.
What's that?
I said, at least nobody got hurt.
Yeah, nobody got hurt. This other guy was watching me, and I said, man, I felt that, and I just felt it go right into my balls.
Cojones.
It was me, too.
From the reverberation of the pipe actually snapping.
Edgar, let me ask you this. As someone who makes playground equipment, I have not spoken to anyone who's made playground equipment. What is, if you took your kid to the playground, what is the last thing you would want them to play on?
You know, you don't see teeter-totters anymore.
Not much.
Because they're so dangerous. And my boss said he made them at one time, and then he quit because this general, like in the Army, he had his kid on the teeter-totter, and the handle was loose. And the kid slid down and got his wiener underneath the handle. And when the other guy jumped off the other side and he came crashing down, it cut the tip of it off.
Oh gosh.
I would say the teeter totter.
I would too now, man.
As a kid, your partner on the teeter totter never knew how to get off the thing properly either. It just sent your ass slamming right into the ground.
Always. And there was a real heavy kid at my school, and nobody wanted to do it with him. You almost felt bad, but you couldn't get him up in the air.
Right.
Like he'd sit on one side.
You're just flying over there.
Right, exactly. So like two or three of us would sit there just to kind of balance it out. They have some really low ones. Oh, what's the hell? Maple Leaf Park, I think it is.
All right.
The kids would go, when they were little, man, they'd be on the playground. And the problem being a parent at a playground, it's not so much your kids, but like if you do one thing with your kids, but the thing they're playing on is communal, well, now you become the adult in charge, which is not what you signed up for. But whatever that spinny thing is, like a bunch of kids kind of stand on it, right? And you're just spinning it around in circles. Well, my kids are on there. One of their buddies is on. So I'm spinning it. And then, like, 9 kids pile on. And you know it's too many kids to be on there. But, what, you know, like, whatever.
Right.
So they're all just screaming, spinning. And then another dad comes over. So both of us, as dads will do, we are now running as fast as we can around in circles. And the kids are just screaming, faster, faster, faster. And this little girl goes flying the F off of this thing, man. I mean, it had to be, like, 8 feet. Hits the sand. She gets up crying. And basically, I'm like, I'm done. Because then I get the stink eye from the other parents. I'm like, look, man, what do you want me to do?
Worst on my end was a rope swing we had on the lake.
Oh, no.
And it had broke. So it was up there, and it had been there for years. And eventually, whoever was the unfortunate character to be on that thing when it broke was probably not in very good shape. But so we found some vines that were on that same tree. We're like, look, man, we're just going to – we'll use the vines. They're strong. We pulled on them. They're sturdy. Yeah. Everything else, it's the same damn tree, same branch. We'll just use the vines. So we start using the vines, and about half an hour goes by, and we're all starting to burn. Our chest is burning. Between our legs is burning. Our hands are burning. Every single thing where that vine touched us is burning. We all got the same reaction from this vine, which we found out was poison oak.
No.
Now, we were 8 or 9 years old. We did not realize this. But we were out of commission for that summer for at least a week while all of us had to go to the hospital.
Right.
Different types of creams, different types of blisters were coming out. I mean, you got to remember, like, we were
We were hugging this vine.
Yeah, I mean, it's a rope swing, man.
So, you know, there's a line down the middle of your chest, the inside of your hands, your wrists, between your thighs.
Sounds like your junk, right?
The entire thing is burning and on fire. And that's when we realized, man, we did not know what poison oak was, and we just found out.
What was the moment you realized someone really effed up? 206-803-ROCK.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain. We see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
This is the Mighty 99.9 KAISW and KISWHD1 Seattle. The Rock. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio. You're in the men's room.
My question was, what was you realize that someone really effed up? 206-803-ROCK. Couple here. Guys, I was 13. A friend and I hopped onto a slow-moving freight train. For kid reasons. Then we took a 7-hour ride through nowhere before it slowed down again. Mom was pissed about that phone call.
Yeah, I've done that. Leaving the club, going back up the train that heads north to where me and my buddy Leon's apartment was. And we were like, you know what, man? Because that was not our intent, but slow-moving train. We said, F it. Ha ha, how scary can it be? And it was fine. But the last thing that this train does before it gets to its final destination is it goes through a tunnel under what they call Howard Street in Baltimore. We knew that, but we forgot about that when we decided to hop on. And I cannot explain it is pitch black. The train is incredibly loud. And all I could think is, if Leon slipped off the ladder, man, like, I'm not going to know until we get back into light. So when we finally got back into light, it's maybe 5 minutes in the tunnel. It's not forever, but it feels like forever. The looks on our faces, because I'm sure he looked just like I did. We were so happy to see each other. Seriously, we're almost in tears because we had the same conversation. He's like, man, I started thinking, like, because you're holding on for dear life. And he's like, man, Steve fell off, dude. I don't even know where he is. And I'm like, dude, I was thinking the same thing about you. Like, we almost broke down in tears hugging each other.
When I was still living at home and my brother-in-law was still living at home, we lived close enough to each other to where during the summertime we would actually walk on down from his folks' property. You could actually walk down to Green River, and where it was at is where we would jump on inner tubes, and we would park a car somewhere down like by Flaming Geyser or something like that. And so we would park a car down there, drive back to his folks' place, walk down, and then we would tube on down. So he and I are on one big old tube, and his brother is on a solo tube, and as we're going down there, the current is kind of taking us toward a big old log that has fallen off, fallen into the water, but it's still stuck to the side. So we're trying to figure out what we're going to do. We're trying to swim our way around it. It's clearly not happening. We're going to hit this log. So we're trying to figure out what we're going to do. My stupid ass was like, I got it, man. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to just put our feet out towards the front. We're going to land our feet on the log, and then we're going to walk our way around it, okay? This is how it's totally going to work.
You told him this plan.
I told him this.
And he said okay.
Right. Well, neither of us were thinking all that great. So as soon as our legs hit that log, water starts flowing in the back. We end up going underneath this doggone thing.
Yeah, which is your personal nightmare, correct?
Kind of, sort of, yeah. I wasn't stuck, but yeah, being underwater in a rushing river is not exactly the greatest thing.
No.
So I get up. I am clinging to this tube. Like, I got my head out of water. The only thing I can think of is, where the hell is my brother? And so I just start shouting for him. I look over, and he's clinging to the other side as hard as he possibly can, too. It was a stupid idea that I'm glad neither of us had to regret. But
what else could you have done? Feasibly, right? You don't put your feet out. You're just going to slam into it. I mean, I don't know what the proper etiquette would be, right?
Right. I mean, maybe you abandon the tube and actually physically try to swim on over there. But he was a small guy, so him being in the water was something we were trying to avoid in the first place. Because his lips always got purple by the end of it.
Ah,
he
okay.
He was freezing.
Like I told you, Boy Scout story, the first time I was ever seriously just absolutely petrified in a situation that I could not control, we are canoeing up there. We ended up doing about 70 miles in 10 days. So in between a lot of the larger lakes, which were the most dangerous, by the way, because
the lakes were.
Storms come in really quick.
Oh, right.
The waves get unbelievably high in the middle of the lake. You don't realize that, you know, in a canoe, you got 3-footers, 4-footers. This is not a good situation when you're packed full of camping gear. But anyway, at one point in time, this is like day number 3, whatever the deal is. We've already dealt with a scoutmaster that had a diabetic seizure. There's all kinds of crazy crap going on, right? I'm in the lead canoe, and Bill, one of the scoutmasters, he's in the back. Now, Bill was not, it's not that he wasn't the brightest guy in the world. You, even as a kid, you could tell that Bill Bragg was not the smartest, sharpest tool in the shed. Anyway, so he's got the map and a plastic Ziploc bag.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We are in between two lakes, and we're going down this river in between the two lakes. And all of a sudden, man, we start picking up speed. We're the lead canoe. We're the navigators.
Everyone's following you.
Everyone is following us. I start looking over to the side of the river, and I'm like, Bill, there are portage points everywhere where people are getting off. You can see where the trails were. People are walking around, and we start to hear this rumbling. And it's like,
never a good sign.
Oh, no. Oh, no. The problem with a topographical map like that is that when you're looking at a river, there is a little line that goes across that says you can't cross here. Mm-hmm. It's uncrossable. That was in the seam of the map. So he kept flipping
the fold.
Oh, no.
He couldn't see it. We start picking up speed, and the people behind us, the canoes behind us, because we had about 8 canoes, the guys in the back are peeling off. The other guy's going, get off. Well, there's nothing we can do. No. We are flying down this river now at this point. And all of a sudden, man, I see the waterfall. I see just the ledge. I don't know how far this thing is going down. I am terrified. Now I'm backpedaling. I'm doing everything I can. I'm trying to get us over to the side of the river. As I'm J-stroking to get over to the side, I'm turning the canoe sideways.
Right.
That's not good either. This thing needs to be nose first. So finally, kind of backpedal my way in. I'm like, all right, we're going for it. I take my paddle, I put it in both hands, like Land of the Lost Man.
How far did you think it was? As all of your nerves are hitting, like you said, you just see the edge. So you just picture like 200 feet or something.
Well, I didn't know. So thank God this waterfall stepped off and cascaded down. Ooh. The first drop was about 15 feet.
Oh.
All right. So, okay, thank God the canoe basically went nose down and kind of kangarooed out and then turned on its side and flipped over. So the pool was big enough to sustain the canoe nose diving down and popping back up. We did lose all the gear in the river. I stand up. Pull over to the side of the pool, start grabbing the canoe, trying to pull it over, figuring out where we're going to take this damn thing. And all of a sudden, I see the top of another canoe coming over the top of the waterfall. And then another. And then another. And then another. And I was like, four canoes going over the top, people screaming. Going over the top of this waterfall, man. It was one of the most surreal. And no one got hurt. That was the craziest part about it.
Right.
No one got hurt. Which blew my mind. I was like, thank God, I'm alive.
Did everyone lose, all the canoes that went over, did they all lose their crap to the river?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, but everything was packed in waterproof bags. You kind of had to roll that way when you're doing that stuff.
Sure.
So all the gear, for the most part, was dry. We just kind of had to collect it, dump all the water out of the canoes, walk down the other edge of the waterfalls, get down to the lake, and continue on. Man, just the sight of that waterfall freaked me the hell out. Let's see what else we got. When I was in middle school, my parents used to buy granola bars to have around as quick snacks for us kids. Well, one day, came home from a Costco-sized box of Fiber One bars. I had no idea what fiber did. All I know was those bars were tasty, and I had an insatiable appetite at that point as a kid. So I went to town. Then the next day at school, my stomach absolutely killing me. I mean, it felt like steel wool was ripping around my intestines. It was so bad, I had to have the school nurse call my parents to pick me up. When my dad arrived, he asked if I'd eaten anything unusual. So I fessed up to mowing down a few Fiber One bars the day before, like seven of them.
I bet your dad just laughed his ass off. Did you have a chocolate-covered X-Lax in your house when you were growing up?
Not X-Lax, no.
But so they had, do they still do that, Mike? Do you know? Have you ever heard of chocolate covered X-Lax?
I mean, I've heard of it, but okay.
It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
If you have children around, because when my brother and I are younger, and I always defaulted to him. He's 5 years older. He's the smart one. And as he told me, it's a Saturday morning. The parents are still in bed. We're up to watch our cartoons, and he's like, "Steven," and he takes me into the kitchen, and we open the cabinet, man, and he's pointing to these chocolate bars that are in a bag. And we're just like, well, sure, we can eat one. Certainly they won't notice. And they probably wouldn't have, but both of us rode the toilet probably the rest of the day.
God.
It tasted like kind of nasty chocolate. But again, I'm a kid. We found chocolate. The parents don't know. And it looked like kind of like a Hershey bar. You break off little squares. Uh-huh. Well, each one of those squares was kind of like the dose you needed. So we probably both put down about nine of those, like split one bar.
Lord.
We didn't know. So we're just watching cartoons, man, and I mean,
you're gonna poop.
Maybe 20 minutes later, you're trying to enjoy Scooby-Doo, and it's like, I don't feel right. So I'm in the bathroom downstairs, I hear my brother take off and run upstairs. By the time my parents get up, they're just like, are you guys okay? Because they're talking to us in two separate locations, because we're both pooping. It's like, we can't stop pooping. They figured it out in about 2 minutes. My father's like, what do you mean you both are pooping right now? It's like, yeah, I think Adrian's upstairs, whatever. God damn it, you guys eat a chocolate bar that you found in the cabinet, like, yeah. He's like, man, it's X-Lax. And again, as a kid, we don't know what that is. Like, he's like, it makes you poop, man. How much did you eat? We split a bar, and all you heard was laughter. He's like, I can't help you.
We split a bar.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't know. So basically, we took nine doses of X-Lax each.
God.
And my dad, I could hear him laughing on the other side of the door. He's like, man, nothing I can do for it. He's like, just ride it out, man.
Well, and then you had that girl that ate the cake pop. So, I mean, the kids just get into stuff that they shouldn't all the time, man.
Again, so with that, I met a family at a bar right before Christmas, and this family would, they would stay at a nice hotel for 2 or 3 days around Christmas time, whatever. Anyway, I met them there after work. Someone had brought us weed-infused cake pops. I had a ton of the mommy, so I'm like, hey, man, you guys want to share a cake pop later? They're like, absolutely. We'll take it up to the room. I'm like, cool. So they leave the bar, take it up to the room. They're back downstairs in 2 minutes. I don't give it any thought. Say my good nights. Find out the next day, they're like, yeah, listen, man, we kind of forgot that we put the cake pop up there. And one of the kids that was with them in the family was like 5 or 6 years old. And they said, she went to bed first because they hung out at the bar. They went up to check on her, and they're like, oh, dude, she's sleeping great. And then they look at the bedside table, and it's just the empty stem.
Sure.
She doesn't. And those cake pops were delicious, by the way.
It tastes like cake.
So they do. So this kid ate an entire cake pop at 5 years old, saturated with weed. They said, like, she slept in real late the next day. And they said when she woke up, basically, she just sat on, like, I'm thirsty. And
they're like, yes, you are.
Yeah, we bet you are. So she guzzled, like, 2 glasses of water and ate a bunch of leftover pizza. Like, they had a voracious appetite. And I'm like, we all understood, but you couldn't say anything.
The first time that I ever ate a weed brownie, I was unfamiliar. I'd smoked a lot of weed in my life, but I did not know the difference in how this was going to affect me.
Yes.
So I was at a party, and party wrapped up at like 2 o'clock in the morning, whatever. So at the very end, I'm like, you know what, man, I'm going to try one of these weed brownies. It's like, they're like, man, just have some of it. You go to sleep immediately. You have the best night's sleep of your life.
Eventually.
It'll be great. Okay, so I do. So I eat a brownie. I couldn't taste the weed. I couldn't taste anything like that. I get back to my apartment, and my stomach started to be really, really, really in bad shape. I assumed it was the weed brownie. I wasn't really sure. That stuff doesn't work that fast as far as, like, but my stomach was upset from it. So I'm like, oh, man, I need to use the bathroom. So the way that the small apartment I had was the toilet basically was kind of right up against the wall. So the side of the toilet, there's a wall there. So there's not a lot of room to put like a little trash can in. I mean, literally it was butted right up against the wall. So I sit down and I can feel that I've got something coming on eventually, right? Now, my roommate still hasn't made it home yet because he was doing his thing out partying that night. And typically at that point in time, it's not unusual for us to come home at 3:30. The bar's closed at 2. There was always an after party. There's always something going on. I cannot remember what Chad got into, but I fell asleep on the toilet. All right? He never came home. I don't remember him ever coming home. I woke up at 4:30. 4:30 in the morning. I am still sitting on this toilet. Now, this is the first time I've ever done this before. Now I realize how high I am from the weed brownie.
So when you woke up, now you're in stoned land. Mm-hmm.
I am stoned. I have also been sitting on this toilet for over 2 hours. So I try to get up and immediately collapse on the bathroom
Your
floor.
Legs are completely dead.
They don't work. They don't work. Like, I stood up to wipe my butt, and I fell. And I'm like, oh, God. This is kind of similar to the mushrooms, but,
right.
You know, I wasn't knocked out. I passed out. I fell asleep. So I cleaned myself up, and basically I realized, like, I can't even crawl. I can't even pull my legs up. I army crawled into the living room. My whole ass from like my waist down is tingling.
Right.
I cannot feel anything. It's just pins and needles. I'm trying to get blood flow. I'm rubbing my legs as hard as I can to just see if I can wake them up. I'm like, come on. Because I've never felt like that feeling of paralysis before.
Yeah. Sure.
Not like that. I mean, it was not coming back. And eventually, I pulled myself up on the couch and kind of like laid down, sat down for a minute. The feeling in my right leg started to come back within about 10. I really thought that I had completely effed my legs up.
Permanently paralyzed.
To the point where I'm like, oh my God. That was the first time I'd ever had any kind of edible, so to speak.
That's one thing, man. A lot of people, you know, when they do edible, I don't feel anything yet. And look, and that is the rookie saying, and we've all been there. But I'm telling you, it's like, man, do not double up. Just give it a minute. One of the last times we did Weed Week. And Robin was here, and it was my name, pull it out of the hat, fine. And someone had made edibles. They made brownies. So I ate the brownie.
Yeah, it was the ones that messed me up the first time.
It was like 10 or 15 minutes for the show, right? And so Robin came in for the show, and she says, hey, man, how you feeling? I'm like, I don't feel anything yet, but I know it'll hit. I'm not worried about it. She goes, okay, well, where's the rest of the brownie? I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, that was supposed to be cut into fourths.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, we have a problem because I ate the whole thing.
That thing's 100 milligrams.
Like, oh, my God, are you going to be all right? I said, well, there's nothing I can do now, man. I said,
you seem fine on the air.
Let's just see. But I was not fine. I was not okay. I was literally stoned for 3 days, and I was stoned for so long that it stopped being fun. Right, because I got home, my wife's like, you are a disaster. I'm like, I absolutely am, man.
I explained like the situation.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, I had told Brian, woke up the next morning and just started laughing. I'm like, oh, my God.
It's still here.
Seriously, man. And then all through the next day, the next night, and finally, I want to say, on the third morning, I was still a little stoned, but I could kind of control myself. Sure. That was a weird few days, man.
Man, well, that's where I found my messed up. You know, I had smoked with Miles out in Spokane, and I think that was the last time that I had touched weed until that weed week. And the same thing, it was those same brownies. The guy actually labeled them Hawkbusters when he sent them in for that time. Because what had happened here, same thing, Robin had cut it into four. She's much more learned on this than I am. I haven't experienced much. I wanted to go into edibles because, one, I like food, I like sweets. I'm thinking, all right, this is probably going to be a hell of a lot better. Sure. Better for you know, you're not smoking, of course. So I take the little bit. It was a good brownie, whatever. All right, and away we go. And I think we are an hour and a half into the show at this point. I'm just screening calls. It's a big dummy day. It's a good and easy day. An hour and a half into the show, I don't feel anything yet. And so I go to Robin and I say, I think I'm going to eat another half of that. She says, are you sure? She looks at me. She says, dude, I want you to understand, you've taken the equivalent of 6 shots of tequila. I went, okay, I'll give it a little while longer. So I think during that next break that we were on the show, all of a sudden, I just realized that my daydreaming just kind of keeps on getting more in depth. All of a sudden, I can't quite focus beyond 5 feet in front of me. And then all of a sudden, I realize, like, okay, I'm in the hole. I start giggling. We're having fun. And then my brain turns to, I'm high at work. This isn't good. Hair club's right behind me. I'm going to get in trouble. And I start panicking. I start freaking out, dude. I went into a rabbit hole to where I realized that my biggest problem when it came to weed is I needed to know what time it was, because for whatever reason, I needed to know how much time had passed. I'd come back to consciousness like, how much time has gone by? Like 2 minutes. And I'm freaking out, dude. I am not having fun at all. I don't feel like I am in control of my extremities. I can't control my thoughts. I got Jason, I got VD on the intercom. I'm like, man, help me out here. Something going wrong. And he talked me through it for the first few times that I did that. And then he went silent on me. That scared the devil out of me, man. I needed somebody on the outside to tell me everything was okay. During a break, and Ted will tell you this, during one of the breaks he comes in, Mike, how you doing? Not good, man. He says, oh, okay, well, you know, you got your water here. You're doing all right. Okay, so you'll be fine. Just breathe. Drink your water. You'll be okay. You want me to come back in after the other break? Yes, please. And so, like, I had a bad time. And then at the very end of the day, I'm starting to come back a little bit. And then I see VD come into the studio, and he had a list of things that I panicked, screamed at him through that intercom that he read over the air. I took a nap, I think, for 2 hours after our show while Taryn was doing her show in here.
Damn.
Just crashed because I couldn't get home. I couldn't do anything. It was terrible.
What was the moment you realized that someone really effed up? 206-803-ROCK.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.